Good morning. I see a lot of faces that I think are unified in the goal, being in heaven someday. I certainly expect that and am confident of that. And in looking forward to that goal, I think it's also useful to look back and see what have you thought about or heard about or been taught about heaven in the past. And just now, we'd like to spend a few minutes thinking about that place and how it is going to be, as much as we can know, and what it will be like for me to be there. Now, from the earliest, youngest memories, we've probably been told and heard this promise of Jesus: I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's a common thing to hear at funerals, and I've been intrigued with how common that concept is, even for people whose Christianity is indistinct, that when a child is wrestling with the question of what's after death, the answer is, well, Grandpa is in heaven. And it's an easy explanation for an adult to use, and a child latches on to that. And so we've had these ideas for a long, long time about a place that we're going someday. Now, I'm not here to talk about the qualifications to get there. I'm here to talk about what is this place going to be like. And so when we think about that, I find this study, I found this very fascinating. The concept of the preparation of heaven for us and how I might apply that to my workplace today, I found that to be very fascinating, and I also, it's very motivating and inspiring. It fills me with wonder and amazement at what God has been doing. I don't know if Jesus, when he says, I go to prepare a place so that I can come again, I don't know if it's taking him a long time because it's going to be so great and the preparation takes this much time, or he's been preparing and now he's doing something else until we come. But one thing I know is that it is exciting to contemplate that next life. Before we get into this, I have a couple of caveats, and that is, because we've all heard this from our very young ages, many of us have some ideas about what we're going to find there, and some of us have some really strong ideas about what we're going to find there, and this generates some lively discussions. If anything I say today stirs up any questions for you, that's great. If it stirs up controversy, well, I don't know. I would like to first of all say that heaven is a place that is not perfectly clearly described for us, I think purposefully so. But the one authority we have is the Scripture. Even that is hard to fully know exactly. But it is the authority, and so if our ideas are our own ideas, we need to make sure that we are aware of that and not argue for our own ideas opposed to what the Bible has to say. The one thing I do know for sure, I think. And that is that all of us will be surprised when we get there. And so any ideas that we have today, we have to be ready to lay them aside because we may not be correct. I'm going to highlight three facts about heaven. And they're not the primary ones, perhaps, but I think they are apropos to today, to the idea of a classroom. And they do invigorate me and get me excited. Is heaven God's home that he has invited us to come join him and we are so lucky to be there or to get there? Or is heaven a place that Jesus is getting ready and making for us? And it's our home. Now that's kind of a involved in that process, that God has been building a kingdom all through the story of the Bible, and now we're involved in it, and that's easy to understand. Once we're there, it's not quite so clear. Are we still building a kingdom, or what is our work? I'm not quite sure. But the concept of working for the King is exciting to me. And the part of that concept that makes a difference for me now is that that's what I was made to do. It's what I'm geared for. I'm made to be involved in activity. I'm not made to sit with my feet up in the air. I'm not made to relax all the time. I am made to be involved in activity that is useful, that is purposeful, that is productive and satisfying. And when that happens, life is good. Life is rich and full of meaning and worthwhile. I think that is going to be our experience in heaven, based largely on that parable, and based too partly, and I understand that, I'll just describe very briefly that how I look in the Bible for ideas. The teachings of Jesus and the apostles is very solid grounds, evidence, writings in the Bible describing what it's going to be like, or an analogy of Jesus, is important information to use in building ideas about heaven. And then there might be a few a little bit more peripheral things that we can use to get ideas, such as take a look at Eden. Now, I personally think that heaven is probably going to be a whole lot better than Eden was. But it does give us a bit of a picture of life without sin, life in the presence of God. And so I think it does give us some ideas. And another fascinating little period of time was that month or so, it was longer than a month, but the time after the resurrection when Jesus was on earth, but he wasn't abiding by the laws of physics anymore, at least not down here. And it gives us a little bit of a picture of a different life that maybe we will experience then too. But those things we need to look at with understanding that it's not perfectly dependable. There's a lot of conjecture there. But in looking at Eden on this concept of work, I like the picture that John Milton describes when he wrote about that, saying that in all this perfection, there was still work that needed to be done. Adam was the first gardener or farmer or forestry man or something, and that there was pruning or care of the garden that needed to be done. And the idea of work to be done that you will be invited to participate in. Now, you will be expected. It will be your privilege. And the greatest rewards are that I'm able to do this. I'm able to serve the King in this kingdom. And all the more reason to serve now, so that I am fit to serve then. I personally believe that serving in this new place, serving in heaven, is one of the rewards that will be given to us. So what is it about work that we will lose? What is it about how do we work and rest in heaven at the same time? And I believe that there again, in looking in the Old Testament, we see the curse that God put on man work was not the curse. God didn't say, you're cursed now, you'll have to work. But in pain you work, and in the sweat of your brow, and that there is struggle and grief, and it doesn't work out right, and there's always disappointment, and things aren't working the way I planned. And that will all be gone. And work will become productive and immensely gratifying and satisfying. And the more I can do, the better. Now, am I going to be working all the time? I'm sure I'm not. And it's fun to talk to kids, especially about thoughts of heaven and what do you think it's going to be like there, and start the process of thinking about what they're going to be doing. And are you going to sleep in heaven? Well, yes, everybody hopes to if you're a teenager, for sure. And are we going to eat there? Of course, yeah, there'll be lots of feasting. And are there going to be fun and games? What kind of pleasures are we going to have? And you can find little clues in the scriptures that point to those things happening. And so while I emphasize this whole time about work and those things, I'm not trying to suggest that that's all we're going to be doing. But I'm excited with the idea that that's the way I was made, that God made me to produce and do meaningful work. And then when Jesus, and while Jesus right now or already has her, Jesus in preparing heaven is making a place where that is going to work perfectly. And work is going to have a very real place in that realm. And that is for our benefit. Let's move on to the second point. Like I said, we're not only going to be working. Heaven is a place of discovery. And here too, I'm curious what you heard when you were young, or what you were taught. And one of the great questions of heaven is, what will I know? We have so many questions down here. We have so many uncertainties. We read the Bible and it's not clear, and we have so many questions about what actually is the truth about. Well, what are all the unfinished stories or the unfinished details about all those interesting stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it'll just be so exciting to know it all when we get there. And will we know it all when we get there? I would like to suggest today that we will not. And my scripture for that is in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 is one of my favorite passages, where it talks about how we were lost in our brokenness and sin, like everyone. But God, in his great mercy, raised us up and brought us into the presence of Jesus. And then he says, after being raised up, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Now here again, I'm reading an awful lot into a very few words. But I think what that's saying is that we're going to be discovering forever, that for all eternity, we will be learning something new. Now, students don't really like the idea of heaven being anything like school, and that learning, I thought that's what we're getting away from. We were having retirement up there anyway. But here again, discovery is what we were made for. And an idle mind is a very sad and dissatisfied mind. Boredom is truly a curse. And the mind was made to discover, the mind was made to be curious and to find new things. And I would like to suggest that perfection is not knowing it all. Perfection is discovering it all, no matter how long it takes. And the goal is not in the all. The goal is in the process of discovery. One of my friends years ago went through a difficult time in he was involved in church work and ran into some rejection where he was hoping to get involved in a certain way and it didn't work out and there were some painful things. And he got some very good advice from a friend to make an analogy for him and said, if you decided to go to the Grand Canyon, make a big family trip and have this very great experience, and this would be this long drive, and something happened that you didn't quite make it and you had to turn around and come back before you got there. You got home. Would there have been any purpose in that whole experience? Well, the original intent, of course, of seeing the great sight that you went to see certainly wasn't going to be the purpose, but the journey and the experience of something new along the way is a great deal of that, has a great deal of value. For that man, it was a very helpful parable, a very helpful story to see the idea that that discovery of whatever life is bringing me now along the way is a very worthwhile process. I personally believe that heaven is going to be that. And now, once again, I'm going to use a little bit of imagination, and this is also fun to do with students. Where will you spend your time when you're there? Are you confined to the four-square city that's described in Revelation? Or will you get to leave? It says the gates are always open. And Jesus came and went pretty rapidly, and am I going to get to travel too? I love travel. Maybe I'll get to, you know, visit Jupiter or something, or see the rest of the universe. Yeah, beware of those kinds of mental exercises, but they're fun nevertheless. And the value of them is simply to see what is there to be discovered once I'm there. And I personally believe, not that that means anything, but all the description about the city and the gold and the jewels, I think, are very, very basic and fairly minor in comparison to the great things of discovery that we will have. And so, going to heaven as a place that was made for me to be able to learn, a place where I am able to discover, that is an exciting idea. My last point is that heaven is a place of relationship. And this is very much combined with the previous point, because relationship is, in large part, a discovery in a social sense, where we are sharing ideas. Well, I discover what you're thinking, and you learn what I'm thinking. There is a lot in the New Testament and throughout the Bible in which the relationship between God and his people, the relationship of Jesus and his bride, is the focal point of all the activity, really. It's the driving purpose, it seems like. Jesus is preparing a bride, getting her ready, and then he's at the same time preparing a place so that together he and she can spend eternity. Now that's, the bride is not me and it's not you. The bride is us. And the individual relationship that we emphasize in Christ has its place, but in the concept of the bride, it is very much, we are the body of Christ, and we are called to be his. That's very exciting. And the idea that I can spend an eternity with the perfect spouse, the perfect relationship. And once again, let me read with a slightly different emphasis, the same verse that I just read in Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, that's the same, the idea of it being ceaseless activity. It doesn't happen at one time, but it goes on for eternity. He might show, and then the exceeding riches of his grace to us. His love for us is something that cannot be fathomed in one eon or two, but throughout the ages of eternity, we'll be discovering a greater depth of that relationship. And while we think of long-standing marriages like we hear of, people who have been married for 50 years or 60, or we see people who have a long-standing relationship that maintains vitality and stays alive and is satisfying. That is somewhat of an image of what I'm talking about, that God is pursuing in heaven between himself and us. And that a relationship that can last that long, a relationship that can continue to enthrall, continue to bring excitement and joy, is truly something worth considering and looking forward to for heaven. It's the joy of discovery, but it's also the joy of close fellowship, of communication, sharing of joys and thoughts, sharing of experiences. I think all of those things will be a part of the relationship in heaven. Now, I would like to close with the idea of heaven as a place we are longing for. And as we see all those great things that we've seen three of them just now, that has two purposes. The one to inspire us, to prepare, to go there, to be more fit to be there than we are now, to be involved in getting others there. And all of what I'm saying is the idea of the future in getting there. But all this look at heaven is also for the purpose of changing our lives here, the present, not just the future. And once again, I had a few references to scriptures in a few places, but I find that Ephesians 2 has been the foundation for more thoughts in this little talk than most any other scripture. But there's another little verse there that I find just unbelievable. It is so hard to get the fullness of the meaning of this verse, this concept, that after we were made alive in Christ, He raised us up together and made something happen, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come. And what I'm emphasizing here is this phrase, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's talking about right now. How do you sit in heavenly places with Christ now? Now that's the concept that is hard to get a hold of. What exactly is he talking about? He doesn't elaborate, just keeps going, talking in the future. But in the way that eternal life doesn't begin when I enter heaven, eternal life begins when I enter the kingdom here. The relationship with Christ doesn't begin when I get to heaven, it begins here. In the same way, some of these heavenly qualities of worship, rest, but these others too, work and discovery and relationship, those things can be going on now. And I'm not trying to set the stage in any way. I didn't talk to anyone else about what your topics were going to be in these workshops or how to do this and the next speaker, whoever you are. If your direction is completely different, that's perfectly fine. I'm not trying to create an agenda here at all. But I would like to say that heaven provides a model for me today, and that what I see coming is something that is intended for me to experience today. The one that we find easy to think about, or that we've heard about before, is that the one of marriage, and that what we see of Christ and the bride is a model for husband and wife. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and we can understand that. That's a picture for us. That's a model for us to live after. But I think there are so many more models for us to get a hold of. And so if these three give you some inspiration, I hope that you can find it, something that you can put to work in how you shape your home or your school, your classroom, your workplace. But it is a place of fulfilling activity, that it is a place of discovery and curiosity. It is a place of relationship. Jesus went to prepare a place for us. Worship and rest, and also intense activity and discovery and relationship. I look forward to experiencing that someday. But I also, in this study, have gained some new insight on how I should pursue that today. I'd like to experience that both now and in eternity. Thank you.